At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'll be summarizing the quote-unquote big beautiful bill that passed the House recently. So, let's get started. So, to be fully honest, I am not going to be reading it word for word, but I am referencing a summary put together by ChatGPT because, to be frankly honest, this bill is like insanely long, and with how fast I read, I'd be reading it for 50 years before I could actually get to the end of it. So, to save time, that's what we're doing. So, to begin with, before I get into the meat of this, I do not like these omnibus bills in general. I would much prefer if each bill was about one subject, one issue. Like, even if it's multiple policies relating to the same issue. Like, for example, if you want to have a tax bill, and so you want to cut taxes here, create new tax credits there, repeal old tax credits here, and so you're doing three or four different things in the same bill, I'm fine with that because it's all about the same subject, so it's all coherent. Instead of just shoving a bunch of cats into a trench coat or whatever. And part of that, not the only reason, the main reason actually is because it would make bills more coherent and easy to understand. But the other part of it is that if each bill was only about one subject, instead of having omnibus bills, the bills would be a lot easier to read. Not just for the legislators, but for those of us who, you know, who want to follow politics and comment on politics and be informed about what the law is. So with all that, let's get into it. So, there's some stuff in here I like, there's some stuff in here I don't understand, and there's some stuff in here that I really don't like. First, when it comes to taxes, the bill extends some of the 2017 tax cuts, and I think that's good. I don't know all of the fine details. If something comes out that, you know, that I don't agree with, then maybe I might have to amend that. But for now, I think that's good based on what I know. The bill also introduces tax exemptions for tips, overtime, and car loan interest through 2028. Now, I do not like the first two. The car loan interest thing, okay, I can get on board with that. Just like we have student loan interest deductions. But when it comes to tips and overtime, I don't think they should get a special carve out. I think we should abolish the income tax altogether. And if the hope was that we would do this first and then later abolish the income tax, if this was incremental, then maybe we could talk. But from everybody who advocates the no taxes on tips and no taxes on overtime, none of them so far have said that this is or is intended to be the first step towards abolishing the income tax. And so I don't think, you know, if we're going to have an income tax, I don't think tips and overtime should be exempt. I mean, for the same reason that I don't think that, say, rental income should be exempt, or income from small businesses, specifically. Like, if we're talking about personal income, then it should be all personal income is not subject to this tax, or everybody is treated fairly and equally. I don't think tips and overtime should get a special carve out. I understand why people want this. I understand, you know, in areas where the lot of the constituency relies on tips, I can understand why representatives of those areas might be in favor of that, like, for example, Nevada. I can also understand if the GOP wants to appeal to blue-collar workers. I can understand why they would adopt this. That doesn't mean that I support it. And then also, the bill increases the child tax credit. I think that's good, especially in our society where we're facing a depopulation problem. We definitely need to do whatever we can to incentivize people to morally have kids. And I'm not saying that then we should encourage IVF and whatnot, but as long as they're actually forming families and having kids the way God intended, then I think we should do everything that we can when it comes to, like, incentivizing that, making it easier for families to afford, and so on and so forth. And so I would support increasing the child tax credit for that reason. And then when it comes to SALT deductions, the bill does not make them unlimited, like I said should happen, but it does raise the cap so that it's from $10,000 to $40,000. So, I mean, that's a start. And when it comes to healthcare, the bill implements work requirements for Medicaid. And I think, you know, I don't think we should have these big government social safety net programs at all, but if we're going to have them, I think this is pretty reasonable. I mean, if someone's genuinely not able to work, that's one thing. But if you're able to work and you just say, nope, I'm not going to work, then you shouldn't expect society to help you, especially if the individuals who are paying your expenses did not choose to. It's one thing if, for some reason, members of your community decide that they're going to prop you up. I would question that, but ultimately that's their decision. But if the taxpayers are paying for it, what that means is that they are forced to pay for it. It's not like the government says, hey, do you want to contribute to the charity fund for people that decide they just want to stay at home all day? Which I'm sure, as I said, I know there are some people who truly can't work, and that's one thing. I'm talking about the people who can and don't. And then when it comes to the coverage for people who are confused, the bill prohibits Medicaid from being used for that, which, again, I support that. If we're going to have these programs, they should be used to pay for actual health care, not for complete nonsense. And in fact, considering how much damage those hormones and surgeries do to your body, I would argue that it's the opposite of healthcare. It is self-destruction. And then, moving on, the bill, make some adjustments to the food stamp programs. And so now we're going to move on to defense and border security, because honestly, you know my thoughts on food stamps, and the bill basically just shifts some of the costs around, so there's not really much to talk about there. When it comes to defense spending, the bill allocates an additional $150 billion for missile defense systems and drones and whatnot. I'm not entirely sure how to feel about some of that. I mean, I do think we should defend the border. But, you know, I don't think we should spend to kingdom come on military stuff, because I don't think that we should be going to war with everyone and their brother-in-law. And I can understand the intentions of peace through strength, but I also think that if if we don't go to war with everyone and their sister, and we spend all this money building all this tech and it just sits there and rots, well then, what's the point of that? Our resources on this planet are finite, as it is. And so, and I'm not just saying this about the U.S., but any country. If any country spends a bunch of money on a bunch of military tech and it just sits there and rots, that's not great either. If you're thinking about it in the long term, which a lot of people don't think in the long term, and that's part of a lot of the political ills that we have today. I understand needing to deter your enemies. I understand that. And I'm not sure what the best solution there is. But I also don't think we should be going to war with everybody. And I'm glad that we have kind of moved away from that, at least somewhat, because I also don't think we should have bases all over the world, but that's neither here nor there right now. When it comes to border security, the bill allots $70 billion for border security measures. Again, I think that we should defend the border. In fact, I think we should combine the departments of Homeland Security and Defense. Like I've said that before, and I continue to believe that. And then on education, there was one thing about, had to do with gainful employment. I didn't fully understand what that was, so we're not going to talk about that. It sounds like it's more internal based. But what I will say is it does eliminate direct subsidization of federal loans for student loans. And I think that's good, because when you have a bunch of students who go and borrow, no questions asked, or can borrow, no questions asked, that does not lead to the best financial decisions. I mean, there's a reason why so many college graduates were in favor of student loan forgiveness, because they went to school, spent 7 years majoring in crap, and couldn't find a job because the thing they majored in was like 15th century ceremonial underwater basket weaving or whatever, with a minor in women and gender studies. So, I mean, I'm currently paying off student loans right now. It's not fun, but hey, I took it out, so I should be the one that has to pay it off. I mean, that's basic common sense. Just like if you buy a house, you should be the one that pays that mortgage, not the government. I don't think the government should pay people's mortgages, just like I don't think the government should forgive everybody student loans. I do know there are some times where people go to school and they can't finish for whatever reason. They run out of money, somebody dies in the family, they have to take care of someone that's sick. I understand those things happen, but that's not the government's job. Even then, that's still debt you took out, so you should have to find some way to pay it off. I also do think it's dumb that, you know, the way the banks are, if you're an 18-year-old and you're like, hey, can I take out $50,000 to go to school? The bank's like, sure. But if you say, hey, can I buy a house and a car? The bank's like, no, no way. Get out of here. Get lost. Well, they might not say it in those words, but that's basically what they say. Like, no. So I do think that that's really dumb that the way that our system is right now, where you can take out a bunch of money to major in whatever you want, no questions asked. And then, you know, if you want to then also, instead of going to school, going to college, if you want to, you know, get started on life and you want to instead take out money to buy a house or whatever, you can't do that. If we're going to allow one, we should allow the other. I don't think the answer is free college, because it's not free. That if the government paid for your college, then the taxpayers would be the one paying for it. And I don't think that's right either. I do think we should stop telling everyone they need to go to college. And I think we've gotten better at that in the last couple of decades. Because I know trade schools cost money too, but like, a lot of those trades are pretty lucrative. I mean, if you're a welder, if you're a plumber, if you're an electrician, you can make pretty decent money. Especially right now when we're short on those trades, and those are essential trades that we need. I think that this whole everybody needs to go to college movement did a lot of damage. And when a lot of kids are pressured to go to college, when employers say you need a college degree, there are some things you need a college degree for. I'm not completely anti-college, as I've been clear before. If you want to be a doctor, then heck yeah, you need to go to college. If you want to be a lawyer, yes, you need to go to college because you need that advanced knowledge that you get from that. If you're going to be an engineer. But if you're going to be answering phones at Walmart or whatever, if you're going to be managing your local dollar store, do you really need a college degree for that? If you're going to be, especially if you're going to be a barista at Starbucks, you don't need a college degree for that. You probably don't even need a high school diploma for that. Now, when I say all these jobs, I'm not looking down on any of them. We need all of these. It's just that not every job needs a college degree. And I think I'm glad we've gotten better at recognizing that. But I do think that there's still a lot of people who think that that they need to go to college when they really don't. And the problem, too, is when we expect 18-year-olds to know what they need to, what they want to do for the rest of their lives. And when high school, your senior year, they pressure you nonstop about colleges. And they say, well, if you don't sign up for college now, it's going to be a lot harder to do it in the future, so you might want to do it now. And they pressure you to do that. I think that that's messed up. So essentially my thoughts on this bill are that there are some things in it I like. There are some things in it I don't like, and there are some things in it that, quite frankly, I'm not sure about, either because it's more internal in nature, or because it's something, it's an issue that I don't care as much about, or I don't understand as much. Because contrary to popular belief, I don't have an opinion about absolutely everything. I don't think anyone does, to be honest. But anyway, thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it or considered it to be food for thought or informative in some way. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, the RSS feed, Audible, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Pandora. You can also contact us on X at JFSCpod or on Facebook at Jesse's Fireside Chats. You can send us an email if you'd like at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and have a blessed day. Please come back next time.